will be turning in your Bibles to 2 John. 2 John, and don't ask me what chapter, please. Good to have everyone with us tonight. We have some who are visiting, and we're glad that you're here. Always count it a joy to have visitors with us, and hope that you'll find your time with us to be beneficial. I appreciate Mike mentioning our trip in his prayer. The lectureship in Memphis is one of those events that we look forward to every year. We try to make it to two, that one and polishing the pulpit. And it's a good opportunity for us to go down and see old friends and also to hear a number of men preach the gospel and hear good sermons. And I already know what's going to be said afterwards. Jeremy and Mike are going to come to me and say, well, when you get back, tell us what good preaching sounds like. But I'll just go ahead and get that out of the way for you so you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to think about it. But we are looking forward to that. And we'll be back Wednesday night for services, so you won't have to miss me too long. We don't know much about who she was, where she was from, or pretty much anything about her, except for these two things. Number one, she loved the truth. And number two, she taught her children to love the truth. And it was on behalf of the truth that John addresses someone whom we know only as the elect lady and states his reason for writing. Notice with me verses 1 and 2 of 2 John. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. You don't have to read too far into the New Testament. Particularly, you might look at the book of Acts. You don't have to read too far into it to find out that the gospel, the truth, meant everything to the Christians of the first century. They, as we might say, ate, breathed, and sleep the truth. The truth consumed their lives every day. Some of the most encouraging verses to me in the New Testament are found at the end of the book of Acts in chapter 2, where it talks about the daily activities of the church just shortly after it was established and those people were converted. How that they met with each other from house to house and ate their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, and they were involved in breaking of bread and in prayers and in keeping of the apostles' doctrine every day of their lives. The truth was everything to them. And in many ways, I look back at that in hope and desire that generally speaking, we might all as a church, not just here locally, but worldwide, get back to a state to where the truth is everything to us. That it consumes our everyday lives. And what is even more evident from the book of Acts, as well as other books to the rest of the New Testament, is that they were willing to give anything and all for the cause of truth. Whether it meant their finances, whether it meant their time, whether it meant any other effort that they could put forth, even if it meant their lives. Their lives were so consumed with the truth, it meant so much to them that nothing was too high of a price to pay. And we find this elect lady just being one example of many that could be seen in the New Testament of one who loved the truth and taught that truth to her children. And it was with this deep dedication that John, upon hearing of this woman's commitment, writes to state the satisfaction of God for her faith and to encourage her to continue in it. And as he said in verse number 1, he writes to her for the truth's sake. But as John writes to this elect lady, I believe we can see three things that he does very quickly for her and for us by application as we notice this great but short epistle to her. And the first thing I believe we see John doing in this epistle in verse 4 is that he states his contentment. Notice in the first two verses he already refers to the faith that she has, her personal commitment to the truth. But in verse 4, he goes on to state a great degree of satisfaction that he has in something she has done with the truth. He said, "I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father." I am of the strong conviction. I don't believe there is a greater statement of encouragement, a greater compliment that can be paid to a parent than what John says to this lady. That I found thy children walking in the truth. Because when we think of the responsibility of parents, that is foremost to raise up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6. And when he writes to her, he is able to state with all surety, I know your children are living the truth, walking in the truth, because they have been reared in the nurture and admonition of God. He found them walking in what she had loved and what she taught them to love. And John personally found a great deal of contentment in that. Now, how could John, to a degree disconnected from this lady, we don't know what sort of association they had, don't even know who she was, so we obviously don't know whatever association it was. But John being disconnected from her and to whatever degree it was, how was it that John felt such a degree of contentment for the faith of this woman and the success that she had in teaching her children, wherever it was she was, being completely disconnected from her? I believe it's because he saw in this woman the spark of the future. The fact that she wasn't content to allow the truth to consume just the present generation in the first century, but she was going to make sure that if all else failed, if nobody in the generation to come knew the truth, cared for the truth, or abided by the truth, she was going to make sure beyond the shadow of a doubt that her children did. And that's why John had such contentment in knowing who she was and what she had done, because he knew that at least with her children, the truth would continue. We talked about Wednesday evening, as we finished up our study of the book of Joshua, that there is such importance in the teaching of children for this fact. In looking at the nation of Israel, they prove, and the Bible states, that it took but one generation for that people to go into absolute, complete apostasy. One generation. It took one set of parents in that nation who didn't teach their children the truth for that nation to be thrown off course for years to come before they were ever brought back to what the law contained. And this woman was not going to let that happen to her family. She taught them the truth, and John saw the fruits of it. However, we see going on that not only did John state his contentment with who she was, what she had done, not only for herself but for her children, and making sure the truth was still available for it to be taught to future generations, in consideration of Paul's commandment to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also, not just in the present time, but that the truth would have free course in the future as well." And so not only did John state his contentment with who she was, what she had done in committing herself to the truth and making sure her children were committed to the truth, but number two, he states his cause. Notice with me verses 5 and 6 where he said, "And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it." The cause of truth demands, does not desire, but demands, necessitates a natural affection for the task at hand. And that is loving God. We can't say too much about the love that we are to show toward God. We have talked in recent weeks, as John wrote in his first epistle, as well as other writers here recently who have mentioned the love that God has for us and we are to have back to God. We can't state too much about it. But how is it that we love God? Is it just a deep-seated emotion hid within the depths of our heart?